Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Rolling along on a Friday here, Query and Company on 93.5, 107.5, The Fan, and we talked, I guess it was last week before the Sweet 16 rounds, to former Purdue Boilermaker Brad Miller, former Sacramento King, former Indiana Pacer, for that matter, All-Star Brad Miller, and said, listen, if they go to the Final Four, we're bringing you back on. And Brad said, sounds good to me. And Brad, you're the good luck charm, because here we are. Final Four is here, Purdue is in it, and we're once again talking Boiler basketball. How are you?
Glad to be talking about Boiler basketball still this time of year.
Let's get to it. Your thoughts, I guess, on, you know, maybe it's dangerous, North Carolina State, because I know you said you follow Purdue pretty avidly and you watch each and every game, but going back to your playing days, as fans, we look at a team like Carolina State and say, well, on paper, I mean, come on, like this is a team that barely got in the tournament and they got hot, but it can't last forever. Is there a danger from a player standpoint in getting kind of caught up in that sort of hype?
Oh, easily to get it into, you know. I mean, the thing about Purdue is, you know, on paper, one should have never lost to a 16 last year. So, you know, they really understand that rankings don't matter and numbers don't matter. You got to, you know, play the game and give it all you have every game, no matter what.
Brad, where did you see the biggest change in this team year over year? And at what point this season, if at all, did it feel like this is a different Purdue team?
Everything felt a little different. Just something felt special about this year. I mean, obviously with the heartbreak of the way it ended last year, you know, that is a crappy way to go, but it's also one of the best motivations, you know, a coach could ever have to tell his players, like, you know, about staying focused, sticking with it and everything, and just the mental part of it, the way they just beat the piss out of people this year. I mean, they just really wore people down every game all year long. So, I mean, they stick doing that. I mean, feel good about it.
You know, Brad, I think you did what probably most Purdue fans did to relax after the in-between rounds, if you will, from the Sweet 16 round and heading into the Final Four, and you went turkey hunting. When you were out and just leading up to going to Phoenix and being there with Purdue, was there like an extra spring in your step? I mean, as an alum, as a product of Purdue basketball, what did it mean for you to realize, wow, this is the week the Boilers are in the Final Four?
I mean, I'm sure everyone kind of saw Robbie Hummel lose, and I texted him after the game like, man, I lost it at home too. You know, it's like, this just means a lot. I mean, really, honestly, like 1980 last time, that's well before, I mean, I was barely born, so I don't even, you know, that doesn't count basically. So, I started looking like, thinking like, we're kind of like the Cubs fans, you know, but the college basketball, like, man, just tough luck, always something, you know, have a good team, get hype, just can't follow through and get the championship. And, you know, obviously the Cubs finally were like, just give us one in 2016, and just the excitement of all the Cubs fans is very similar. I mean, as soon as they got the Final Four, my phone was like 20 texts, like ding, 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 ding. And it was like, are you going? Congrats. Brother up. Yes. Oh, you know, teammates, friends. Like, it just went completely nuts instantly. And, there's going to be so much Purdue support and love down in Phoenix this weekend. It's going to be great to see a lot of people. Obviously, to see Purdue in the Final Four, there's not many of us around that have been able to say that. So, you know, glad, super glad for the program, Coach Painter, get that monkey off their back, and we're already there. Might as well, you know, win two more since we're making that trip out west.
Now, with that, Brad, you said you got emotional. What was the moment that it really hit you? And was there a particular moment when you were watching on television where that lump in the throat was definitely there and you realized that it was okay to be emotional about it?
About a minute and a half left, but, you know, when that final buzzer is like, okay, this is really happening, you know, it's like, didn't want to text nobody before. I mean, minute half, I started to let myself kind of let go, like not be so wound up as a fan watcher. I'm like, man, we got this. And then it was like, all right, they're going to cover the spread too. Man, this is just a win-win. Win-win for everybody here.
What about when Gene Cady got his part of the net? What did that mean to you as a former Gene Cady player?
Man, I wish I could have got him to the Final Four, you know. I mean, as much as he's done for that program, obviously I'm glad that he's been around a lot and able to go to all these games. And, you know, it's a pretty family. I mean, Painter took over. He got coached under Coach Cady and then took over for him. It's kind of, you know, for the last 40-some years, it's pretty much been a pretty family with two coaches that, you know, support and welcome all the old players and all the new players that are, you know, to be coming through Purdue still.
Brad, have you had the opportunity yet to talk to Coach Cady in any capacity since they clinched their ticket to Phoenix?
No, I'll see him down there this weekend for sure, and definitely, you know, congratulate him for getting Painter to be the coach and finally getting there. So,
does this feel like, as a former Boilermaker, that a lot of both your teammates as well as past players are able to really embrace and live vicariously through this group?
Oh, we are. Like, there's no doubt about that. I mean, none of us got to the Final Four. I mean, you know, Robbie. Sorry, like Robbie, that group, you know, obviously 2019 with Thurston Edwards and Ryan Klein, those guys should have won that game against Virginia. You know, it's just always had, you know, close. Coach Cady got, they lost to freaking Wisconsin in the Elite Eight, like a couple years after I left to go to the Final Four. I'm like, come on, Brian Cardinal, how'd you guys lose to them? Like, you know, it was the Final Four in Indianapolis that year, too. So, I mean, they've been close with Coach Cady. Painter's been close, and it's just kind of this, you know, monkey on the back that people always say, well, Purdue, man, you've been to the Final Four. That means, that doesn't mean we haven't had a great program. We haven't had great teams during that time, but it's that little stigma. So this just relieves a lot of pressure for, I'm sure, the current players, the staff, the former players, like, you know, all those IU basketball fans that I got to be friends with, you know, it's talking about, look at the banners. Like, well, that was 70s. Like, that's really been a long time ago. So, you know, this kind of gives us that step up again of, all right, yeah, we've done Final Four. Now we're hopefully try to go win it now.
Brad, there have been great performances in Purdue basketball history. Brad Miller is our guest here on Query & Company. There have been great Purdue performances in the tournament. I mean, Carson Edwards, who you mentioned, you know, against Villanova, Ryan Klein, his game against Tennessee, Glenn Robinson had many of them. So did your, you know, all of you guys have. Was Zach Edey's performance to get Purdue into the Final Four and his game against Tennessee, is that the single best tournament performance that you have seen from a Purdue player?
Yeah, I mean, pretty, I mean, that Carson Edwards, when he went off for 42, was awfully impressive, but just the way he dominated. I mean, it makes me go to Edey. Obviously, I think a big dog against Kansas, and then the Carson Edwards game is my top three performances in Purdue that I remember watching. You know, those are the three that stick out as my top three. And man, he was just so dominant. He was just like big fella, just putting in work down there. I mean, he said what he said after the game, and I was like, his attitude is really makes it impressive to see his leadership, all the burden that he's been taking on, that still fighting it and accepting it, you know, and walking him in, straight in his face, like, here's a challenge, bring it to me, I'll figure it out. And, you know, he's really, really, really done an amazing job getting everybody to play together, play through him, and carry this team, really.
Speaking of Zach Edey, what do you make of that matchup on Saturday night of DJ Burns and Edey? Clearly, Edey has the height advantage there, but this will be one of the few times in this run where somebody that might be able to match up size-wise is going to be with him in the post. What do you make of that dynamic matchup between those two bigs?
Oh, it's going to be fun to watch these big fellas go at it. I mean, like I said, he's not going to – I don't know. He might still be able to back him down. I mean, Edey's not just big. He's strong, too. So, but it's going to be a – battle. I mean, you're going to do the same thing, get it down low, feel the pace, you know, try to get them in foul trouble. It's, I mean, one of his best skills is literally getting the other team in foul trouble, because that hinders their whole game plan they had. You know, Utah State had the two bigs. We had a big, big pick and roll that got two buckets. And he's like, all right, time to get them in foul trouble. Got the big guy in foul trouble. He sat down the rest of the half, you know, and the game was over. So, I mean, it's going to be a chess match of what he can do, you know, staying out of foul trouble, which he's phenomenal at somehow. I don't get it, but he's phenomenal at really not getting in foul trouble, but drawing fouls. So, you know, see how it goes. But it's going to be a battle. Like I said, NC State's been hot. They're on a heater of all heaters, really. I mean, from not in the tournament to win the ACC. Coach got an extension because they won. So just kind of all types of crazy for them. But, you know, we got a better story, more consistent, better team, really. But we got to go out there and prove it again.
Brad, I know that you have told us that, Brad Miller, that you follow the Sacramento Kings really as closely as you follow your beloved Purdue Boilermakers, right? A couple of teams that you played for. What are your thoughts on Sabonis and the way that he's played for Sacramento? And also, what was your emotion when Tyrese Haliburton was the guy that they sent to Indiana to get Sabonis?
Tyrese, I was not thrilled about that, you know, just because I really, really, I mean, the NBA knows now what his potential is, and I still thought him and Fox, I mean, if we would have got Mike Brown before he made that trade, then, you know, maybe you're looking at Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, different version, you know, because Tyrese is the ball handler, and Fox is more of a, you know, a 1A, 2B kind of player in terms of he's not really a point guard, he's not a two guard, he's kind of in between. But Sabonis fills that role, obviously, what Tyrese would have done the way he, I mean, the offense totally runs to him, so it makes it fun for me to see the big guy being in charge, like kind of how it was back in the day with the Kings, how had Vlade, Weber, and myself that were really distribution big guys, and the guards got to run around and do their cut and then just shoot it, and we did all that, literally everything else at this point. And I mean, the guy's just so strong. It's like I watch him play. I mean, he gets beat on every play, but I mean, he's also beating up on everybody every play. So it's like, you know, he's just a freaking consistent wrecking ball out there. I mean, he's been absolutely amazing for the Kings as just everything, changed everything out here for Sacramento, and was a huge reason why the Kings are doing so well now, for sure.
So you've got a bunch of land, as I understand it, in northern Indiana. Of course, you're from, you know, Kendallville, right outside of Fort Wayne. But you still live, if I'm not mistaken, outside of Sacramento. What is it about out there that you most enjoy and that keeps you out there, and how much time do you get back to Indiana?
Oh, the weather. I mean, you're talking about Cali, the weather. It's 75 out today. A little windy, you know, maybe 5 mile an hour gust or so. But, you know, it's just my daughter was born out here, and, you know, kind of came to compromise and want to raise her out here and enjoy the weather. I can see the snow, but it's never going to snow here in Sacramento. So that's just kind of nice to have the little mix. I mean, Northern Cal is beautiful. The rest of California, I don't care for, especially go farther south to that L.A. area. But, you know, the Sacramento is obviously, I was out country in the country rice fields and yesterday, Amon Farmer shooting turkeys with air guns. You know, it's a lot of, there's a lot of more country out here up on this part. I mean, California wants this, the people up here would like to call it the state of Jefferson, be like, we'll do our own laws and everything. And so it's a different world from the rest of California. It's just a pay to play state is all it is. But I'm actually going to be moving back to Indiana this summer and calling it good.
So no more warm winters for you then, right?
No, I'm going to find a place in Florida.
So why leave in California, though?
I'll be booking it down south to Florida and sit on the boat.
Yeah, that's probably smart, man. I can appreciate that. All right, lastly, in terms of just soaking this in and this Purdue reunion that's going to take place for the Final Four, I know that you had a Pacer reunion during All-Star Weekend. Give me the players from Purdue that you're most looking forward to hanging out with, seeing and catching up with in Phoenix.
Well, my old teammate, Chad Austin. Sorry, he actually hit me up. I saw him in All-Star Game for like the first time, and I don't know, it's been quite a few years, so it was like, good to link up there. And then we're like, well, if Purdue makes it to Phoenix, you come. He's like, oh yeah, I'll come. I'm like, well, I'll definitely be there. So you know, I get to see him as an old teammate that, you know, I went to prep school with him, then 4 years of college. So we go, you know, go 5 years of our life together. And, but, you know, it's going to be a lot of random different Purdue guys. You know, Robbie's going to be out there trying to get a hold of Rafael Davis. You know, these guys are the fancy reporters and everything, you know, doing all the TV announcements. So, you know, there's going to be a whole variety. I mean, I'm sure, like, I mean, you can go down the list. Ryan Klein would be there, new guys. I mean, we already got my old team, Brandon Brantley. I mean, Konzo Martin's probably going to be there. Matt Waddell's going to be there. Obviously, he's got a son. There's just kind of the list goes on and on of, you know, there's going to be a lot of support. I know that. Everyone I've talked to, like teammates, whether it's Instagram, text, it's just like the excitement is for real. And like the proudness of our program is, you know, finally we get a peacock a little bit this year to, you know, some of those other blue blood schools. Like my friend that played, you know, Kentucky guy, he's just like, man, I'm so happy for you guys. Congratulations. Like, you know, he gets it. And it's like, so, you know, it's just going to be a very emotional for a lot of Purdue alumni, I'm sure.
Now, you can't mention Peacocks after the St. Mary's loss a couple years ago, right? People are still...
but we're
going to
Peacock now.
Still, hey, by the way, somebody told me this, so we'll end with this, fact or fiction, okay? Somebody told me that when you played at Purdue and the Purdue basketball team would do, like, conditioning cross-country running, that you would instead go to the driving range and just sit and try to tee off and hit them with golf balls as they ran past. True or false?
That's false.
All right. So you don't swing a golf club?
No, I do that, but I wasn't hitting. I was probably out running everybody, honestly.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I'm sure you're going to have fun hanging out with all of the guys this weekend, and best of luck to Purdue, and soak it in because obviously it's been a great program. You're a part of that, Brad, and look forward to having you back in Indiana when you become a Hoosier again.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, appreciate it. Brad Miller, join us. Boiler up, that's right. Brad Miller on the guest line.